This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, Bridgeway. It is great to be here with you. I missed you last week while I was away, and this week we are kicking off a brand new series on spiritual habits. You also should have received one of these as you came in this morning, a little handout on a Bible reading plan that we're going to start and kick off today as well. But it's just good to be back together with you and to kind of start thinking about this subject of spiritual habits. I want to ask you if you ever have played this game. You ever played this game driving down the road, right? Like some of you are like, yeah, nudging the person next to you. I know who you are, right? And this game is the game, like, how low can you go, right? I mean, this is like driving down the road, and how far can you push it? Some of you are like, whoa, Pastor, I am not comfortable with this game. I get to a half a tank, and I got to fill back up. That's my father-in-law does that. Some of you are like, no, I'm adventurous. I'll get all the way down to like a quarter tank of gas. And others of you, that's not adventurous. You got to wait till that little light pops up on your dashboard, right? You know, and it's like low fuel indicator, and maybe yours, like mine, it says 20 miles to empty. And I'm like, 20 miles? That's like at least a gallon. And that's not even like the engineers build reserves in there. So, you know, I can push that. My record is I've gotten down to 6 miles remaining. This past couple weeks, I've been doing a lot of driving, been on the road quite a bit. And on the highway, I don't push it quite that low because I never know where I'll find gas. And I got all the way down to like 13 miles remaining. I was pretty proud of that, pretty happy with that. But we play this game, and for me, I've been doing a little bit of traveling over the past couple of weeks, and there was kind of this constant reality of, like, the gas tank being emptied as low as I could get it, and then having to fill it back up. So a couple weeks ago, I started a road trip, and Sean, my wife, and Bryson, my son, we drove down to Chattanooga. We did a little thing that I like to call Ironman. I raced in a triathlon. If you don't know what an Ironman triathlon is, it's just a really long day. It includes a lot of swimming, biking, running, and then the contest for me is to see if after the race I can actually eat my weight in pizza, like to refuel my entire body. I burned like 12,000 calories in one of these races, so afterwards it's like, oh, bring it on, all the food I could possibly eat. And my stomach had been drained down to empty, so filled that back up. But that just really kind of began the process. I was in Chattanooga, and Sean and Bryson and I then started our journey towards San Antonio, Texas. We drove through Mississippi, and all along the way, gas tank going down to E, filling it back up, Alabama, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, LSU country, all the way to Texas, San Antonio, Texas. And the highlight of the trip was we got to see our daughter, Aislinn. We haven't seen her in about 8 weeks. She just graduated from basic military training, and it was just so, yeah, you can clap for that, sure. Oh, just so fun to see her. It was the highlight for us. And just getting to hug her and spend some time with her. We got 8 hours with her, and then she had to go and ship off to her next assignment. But constantly just feeling like the gas tank is being drained down to E and having to fill it back up. We then had to start the long drive from San Antonio back to Michigan. We just got back yesterday, driving that whole way. You know, some people talk about van life. We lived kind of like the Honda Odyssey van life for a few days driving back. And I think that this serves as a really good metaphor for life, because in so many ways, we're like that gas tank. We get filled up and then we get emptied out. In all areas of life, whether it's in your work, you kind of get filled up and then you get emptied out in having to fulfill that work. You get filled up in your family with all this ability, and then you empty yourself in love and service of your family. And the same is true in our spiritual lives as well. And the reason that I think we need to spend some time on this topic is I believe that many of you are running on E. That when you look at your lives, when you look at your emotional lives, when you look at your physical lives, and what I really want you to do this morning is to look at your spiritual lives and assess, am I on E? Have I filled back up my spiritual reserves and my tank? I think many people are running on E. There was an article I read recently. It was just simply titled, pandemic fatigue. Yes, it's real. And in the study that this particular article was highlighting was about executives, people in the business world. And it said in their little study, they found that 95% of these executives in America were ready to quit their job and not even look for another one. You read through another article, and it said that 72% of Americans are what they would define as chronically tired. Now, see if you fit this category. Chronically tired. They define it as 3 days a week waking up and being tired, like hitting the snooze. Some of you are like, 3 days, that's like every day of the week, right? Like just chronically tired. They actually found that men are a little less chronically tired, women considerably more tired. Now, my wife would tell you that's because she says I snore at night and it wakes her up. I don't believe any of this is true. It's like evidence, you know, produce some evidence, really, seriously. That's a whole nother topic in sermon, but tired. Not only that, it says that we're stressed. 60% of Americans are dealing with some form of stress. They're looking at this last year, and many people are feeling disillusioned. They're feeling angry. They're trying to adjust to whatever we call this new normal in a post-pandemic world, and just feeling like it's stressful. In fact, one psychologist that I looked at actually said that this year, 2021, brace for it, it's going to be called the year of the depressed, that there are so many people dealing with levels of anxiety and depression that the clinical world has never seen before. Some people, it's not even that. It's just conflict and tension, and you know, if you got kids, right? I mean, if you're trying to deal with littles at home and you're trying to figure out, like, hey, who's got who? Like, who's taking Johnny to practice? And then who's going to the store? And then who's going to remember to pick up Johnny after practice is over so we don't end up on the news of leaving our kid somewhere in town? Like, there's just this stress and tension. I want to say to you this morning that in my observation, when I look at the world today, when I look at people that I love and care, I see that tanks are very, very empty. And just as your gas tank needs gasoline, and just as your stomach, your body needs fuel, your spiritual tanks need to be filled up and nourished as well. And I want to just tell you that I think we need this as a church. We need to pay attention to the tension of our gauges and really assess how we're doing. Are our tanks filled up so that we can be emptied out to the world around us? And that's really what this series on spiritual habits is going to get at. It's going to give us a way and a framework in which we on our own learn how to fill up our tanks each and every day. See, the antidote to fatigue is learning to refuel, learning to kind of fill ourselves back up. And so I want to engage in this as a church. And the way I want to do this is I want to start today as really an introduction to spiritual habits. And I want to begin by looking at the life of Jesus. And in fact, I want to look at just one particular teaching that Jesus gives. And I believe, I really truly believe that if we could begin to get this one text right. In fact, if you like to come to church on Sundays when there's not a lot of scripture reading, you picked the ideal Sunday. It's a short teaching. It's a short and profound verse that Jesus gives on how to refuel our spiritual tanks. It's found in Matthew chapter 11. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, Matthew is one of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These are the Gospels. Gospel means good news. This should be the best news that you hear all day long is whatever Jesus has to teach us. And it's, again, a short verse, Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. I bet this is even familiar to many of you. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If you have a Bible or an electronic Bible in front of you, and even if it's one of the pew Bibles, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to underline three things in this little verse. I want you to underline the words, "come to me," and then underline, "I will give you rest," and then underline, "rest for your souls." What Jesus unlocks for us in these three simple verses is how to refuel our spiritual tanks. Now, let me just say something about Jesus for a moment. You might be here this morning, you might be viewing online, and you might be saying to yourself, you know, I haven't committed my life to Jesus. I haven't made that decision. I haven't crossed that line. Whatever you Christians call that, I haven't done it yet. And if that's you here today or watching online, I want to say very simply that you have to, at least for a moment, listen to these words of Jesus. Because let me tell you, Jesus was the type of person that when you read through his life story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find that Jesus was unique. He never was in a hurry. He never was stressed out. He never had to worry about the things we worry. He never worried about his finances and how to pay the bills. He never had any unresolved conflict with people around him. And if Jesus lived that kind of a life, then he must be offering us something, some alternative to how we've designed kind of the narratives of our life. And so he says, come to me, and you'll receive this rest. Now, he puts it in sort of a farming analogy, which I got to admit, you have to contextualize it to today, because I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that most of you are not worried about putting a yoke over an animal's shoulders, right? Like, you hear that, and you're like, yeah, I think I've seen a picture of a yoke, and what Jesus is describing here is really common everyday life in the first century in which he was living. That two animals, usually two horses or two cattle, would be yoked together. They'd be tied together at the neck, and it was done for efficiency, so they could work together and plow the field or do whatever work was required. And immediately you hear that language of yoke and work, and I know what happens. Especially in a church, you can start to think, well, that sounds like a burden, Pastor. You know, like that sounds like that's going to be hard and heavy. You know, this yoke. In fact, I'll just give you a few examples. Sometimes you start thinking about the yoke of what it means to be a Christian, the burden, and you think, you know, that's hard. Like some of you are like, oh, you know, just even going to church. You know, I gotta get up and I gotta go and maybe I gotta kind of put my happy face on and I don't feel like it and it just seems like a burden. And some of you. You feel like, you know, oh, and then I get the call in the morning and someone can't work and children's ministry and they want me to serve and it can just feel like, ah, oh, more weight on your shoulders. And then you're like bracing, right? Like, oh, when are those pastors going to ask me, you know, I got to give to the church and you can kind of feel this weight financially. And oh, yeah, I know they're going to ask me, I got to get involved or I got to join a small group. And you can begin to feel that weight, and that is exactly the opposite of what Jesus is offering. He's actually saying that when you take his yoke, you actually get locked in step with Jesus, that Jesus wants to walk beside you and carry the burdens that you face in life. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's light, it's easy. And even if you come to the church and you feel like, I've got some resentment against the church, or resentment against what God did or didn't do in my life, you approach these words of Jesus, and he offers this countercultural way. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light and it is easy. He's giving us the way of what it means to walk alongside of him. And I think the craziest part of this entire verse is it's almost as if Jesus is begging us. Like, look at that. It says, come to me. I mean, he's just begging us, come to me. And you will find rest for your souls. I got to ask the question this morning, friends. I just got to ask the question that I've been thinking about for the last couple weeks. And it's just really simply, why don't we? I mean, why don't we come to him? Why are so many people feeling this emptiness? I mean, let me just ask you. I just told you about two crazy weeks that I had on the road, just kind of emptying myself out in travel and getting to compete in an Ironman, and that was confessional for me. I was tired after these past couple weeks. Let me ask you this morning, are you on E? Are you on E emotionally or physically? And maybe even more importantly, are you on E spiritually? Some of you are like, I haven't even really thought about that, Pastor. That's a great question. I don't even know where to begin. Let me kind of get you thinking about this and maybe just take a little in-depth survey of your own soul for a minute. Why is it that we run on E? Why is it that we don't always come to Jesus and get the rest that he offers? I'm going to give a few ways in which I think we just sort of run on E. The first is is I think very honestly, we don't even look at our gauges. Some of you are like, I have gauges? Yeah, you have gauges. You have ways in which your body and your mind and your soul working together can tell you how you're doing in all areas of life. In fact, I loved Justin's message last week. I loved listening to him talk about words. I still can't believe we hired a youth pastor that got pulled over by the cops. Like, seriously, like he talked back to a cop. Think about that in your quiet time sometime. But, you know, Justin talked about how these words that he said were just a trigger to that police officer. And words can be that, can be kind of this trigger, can be this indicator of where our emotional gauges are at. Are we kind of at our wit's end? Are we kind of on our edge? Is it just like one small thing and boom, we snap? It's an indication of that gauge. Maybe there's an indication of just kind of where we're at in our relationships. Are your relationships, that gauge, is that full? Are your relationships in good order? Or would you describe more of your relationships right now as in conflict or in disorder? Is there lots of love and lots of patience? Again, indicator of your gauges. Pay attention to the tension of your gauges. Second thing I would say is we run on E because we're just too busy to refuel, right? Like we're going in so many different directions that the thought of like slowing down to fill back up is just foreign to us. In fact, we just think, you know, I'm just going to keep going. I won't ask for a show of hands on this one, but think about this. How many of you are just like, you know, you're too busy in the morning for, I don't know, let's say breakfast, right? Like the most important meal of the day, and you're just too busy for it. Or you think to yourself, you know what? I'll eat in the car. That's safe. That's a good way to do it. You know, or I'll eat when I get to the office. Or I'll eat at 10 a.m. And what it does is it really preaches this false narrative to ourselves that I'm too busy to even care for my own health, my own well-being. We're just too busy spiritually to refuel. Third one would be not only being too busy, but just being in a hurry. Not only are we busy, but we're going really, really fast in every direction we can. And this is kind of the myth of multitasking. I'll just go from here to there to here to there. And we just kind of get in a hurry wherever we go. And you probably know this if you've ever like taught young teens to drive a car for the first time. They tend to do this, right? They're in a hurry everywhere they go. And so, you know, the first-time driver is like, it's just pedal to the metal, right? Like, and you just watch. They're either pedal to the metal or brake. That's all they do when they're learning how to drive a car. And I can just watch that gas gauge just going down because they're in such a... It uses more fuel when in a hurry, when we don't slow down. Fourth way in which we allow ourselves to run on E is we just have too many new things going on. We're juggling job and career and family, and then somebody takes and throws something else at us, right? They throw, here's a new problem to deal with. Here's cancer to deal with. Here's a family member who's sick to deal with. And what happens? You can't juggle all of that, and something has to give. I'll give you the last thought. I think the last reason why we run on E is we simply do not know how to refill our spiritual reserves. You might be here this morning, you might be thinking, you know, Pastor, I get it. I get that I'm running on E. I just don't know how to get back to full. I don't know how to have maybe a time where Jesus fills me back up. I'll be honest with you, Pastor, the whole idea of a quiet time, it kind of freaks me out a little bit, right? Like, I mean, having a quiet time with someone that I can't, I get that I could have maybe a quiet time with my dog, or I could have a quiet time with my cat. I don't know why you would have a quiet time with your cat. I'm just saying, but you know, but I can see that thing. But God, like I can't see God. How do I do that, Pastor? Frankly, I'll be honest with you. It kind of freaks me out a little bit to think of what that would mean to have a quiet time with God, to be filled back up. And if that's you this morning, this is where I really want to help you as your pastor. Because if there's sort of one secret, if there's a secret to life, sort of the one secret that I've been trying to learn is to live in this rhythm of being filled up and then emptied back out. Being filled up in my own life so I can be the best husband and father and friend that I can be. Being filled up so that I can be the best pastor and teacher and advocate for God, for you, and my prayer life. Being filled up and emptied out. I don't do it perfectly. I'm still learning how to do this in my life, but that's the rhythm in which I believe we begin to grow. And this requires something of us that I believe everyone can do. Everyone can learn how to be filled back up if they take the time to learn some spiritual habits, to build spiritual habits in their life. And that's really what we're talking about in this series, is building these spiritual habits to fill our souls back up. Maybe another way to think about these spiritual habits is to actually think about a really old, an ancient concept. I want to introduce you to the idea of having a rule of life. This is not a new idea. In fact, this is a really old, ancient idea where you actually have a rule, a set of habits that guide your life. And by rule, it really means something that's communal. And so for centuries, people have been gathering together in a place called the church where they've established there are certain rules, certain habits by which if I live by these habits, if I allow this to rule my life, then my life will be more in line and more like the kind of life that Jesus offers. This is the way of following Jesus. Not a set of rules that are hard to follow, but a set of common habits that we all embrace in. And this has been followed for years and years, hundreds of years, centuries, in fact. I'll introduce you to two people that I find interesting that had a very defined rule of life. The first is a guy by the name of Saint Augustine. Well, let's just simply say he was no saint before he met God. In fact, Augustine would serve as sort of a poster child of being a rebel. In fact, most of his life, he lived it apart from God. In fact, he was known as sort of being the kind of guy that was the life of the party. Augustine was the party wherever he went. In fact, he would go from town to town, and he was known for spending a lot of time in the local bar. He was married, but he also had a mistress. I mean, this guy was just kind of all over the place. And every town he went to, he had this reputation. In fact, history would tell us that Augustine's mom would follow him from town to town, and she would actually sleep outside of whatever house he was at. And she would kind of follow him, and she would pray every night that he would come to know God. Well, one day, he was out sort of in this back courtyard, and he heard the voice of God. Augustine heard God say to him, "Take up and read." And he says in his words, in his own life story, that he could not deny God any longer. He picked up a Bible. I don't know if you've ever done this. He did kind of like what you call Bible roulette, where he just sort of like flipped the pages, and he put his finger on the page. He said, "This will be my new life verse." Well, it was Romans 13:13 that he landed on. And it says, "Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy." His jaw hit the ground. God, is that you? Shall we build a boat this morning? Do we need a boat? I'll press on. All right. He heard that voice of God, and he immediately dropped to his knees, committed his life to God, became St. Augustine, and is known as one of these church fathers, church theologians throughout history. Another guy, very different story, is a guy by the name of Benedict. Before he was St. Benedict, he was sort of a hermit. He knew God, he followed God, but he had this one thing. He had just this one small character flaw. He hated people. Like, literally, couldn't stand people, talked negative about people, was always critical, and so he just became a hermit. He lived in his own home, read his Bible every day, but didn't want anything to do with people until he read this verse. His jaw hit the ground. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And he realized that in his relationships, he was not giving glory to God. And it changed his life. He became all of a sudden very invested in the lives of people around him to give God all the glory through his relationships, started all these monasteries and all these communities of faith. On and on we could go. But what seems to happen is when God gets a hold of a person through these men and other men and women throughout history, and they begin to read God's word, their life changes. And this became the rule of life for Augustine and Benedict and many others. But it started with reading and following God's word. So what we're going to do as a church for the next 4 weeks is we're going to build a rule of life here at Bridgeway Community Church, a rule of life around spiritual habits that will grow us closer to God. And the first rule of life that we're going to start with here at Bridgeway is we're going to start each day with Scripture. I know some of you are out here thinking, oh no, I picked today to come to church where the pastor is going to require that I read my Bible every day. You picked that day. Today is that day. In fact, tomorrow is when this will begin, and this is going to become our rule of life at Bridgeway. Every day, I'm going to be asking you to start each day with Scripture, and that's what this handout is all about. In fact, some of you might have been here a few weeks ago, and I talked about the difference between two animals, two big cats, right? I talked about the lion, and I said, don't be like a lion, because a lion just hunts and kills and then gorges itself on its prey, and then it gets lazy. It falls asleep. And a lot of us are like that in our spiritual lives. We hunt after and chase after God until we get our fill, and then we fall asleep on God. Instead, I've been praying that we would be a church that's more like the tiger, right? You know what the tiger is like? Tiger is this rare breed of animal that hunts and kills just simply for the thrill of it. It gets up every morning and says, I'm going to chase down a gazelle today, and I'm not even going to eat that thing. I'm just going to kill it and leave it for somebody else. And I think we need to be like that with God. We need to chase after God every day just simply for the thrill of chasing after God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to engage in the Scriptures. We're going to be like tigers every day, and I'm going to give you this Bible reading plan, 4 weeks, and what I'm asking you to do is to engage in 5 readings. So if you miss a day, you can always come back on the weekend and catch up, but try to start each day with Scripture. Every day we'll roll you through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are some of the most famous teachings of Jesus. And what this serves as, it really serves as a larger project that I've been doing. For the last 5 years, I've been trying to get my hands around, through this doctorate program, how we grow spiritually in the digital age. How do we make God our top priority as disciples when we seem to have technology all around us? I mean, have you noticed the irresistible pull of technology, of screens everywhere? I mean, even in church, screen everything. And so I've been trying to understand, what's the balance? How do we keep God at the top priority when these things and these apps, and don't fool yourself, the people who design these phones and screens are really, really smart. They want to pull us in just as well. And this is not a rant against technology. I love technology. I'm into, you know, binge watching my favorite episodes and social media. But I've had to learn, how do I deal with this? How do I keep this in check and not allow, because anything that you place over God becomes an idol. I'll give you an example. In fact, this may hurt a little bit, right? But think about starting each day with Scripture and maybe the pattern or the rule of life that you have right now, which is you start each day and you're like, who's texted me? Who's emailed me? Who liked or commented on my post from last night? What's the weather? Is it going to rain today? Do I need an umbrella? And I think about that. Sometimes I'm laying in bed and I'm wondering, like, what the weather is. And I'm thinking to myself, like, doesn't God know what the weather is going to be today? Like, do I really need to know before my boots hit the ground? Or do I need to start and do I need to say, I need to fill myself up spiritually so I can pour myself out into the world around me? So what we're going to do, and I'll wrap this message up, what we're going to do is we're going to actually try to figure out how to harness technology. And I'm going to ask you for 2 weeks to actually use some resistance and to do all of your Bible reading, weeks 1 and 2, with an electronic device. And this is going to test you, right? Because you're going to have to say, oh, I won't click on my favorite app. I won't click on my social media feed. I won't look at the news or the stock market. I'm going to start with Scripture. If you're unfamiliar with how to get a Bible onto your phone or onto your tablet or onto your laptop, you can see any of us on staff. We've also got the little QR code for the YouVersion Bible app. You can download what I think is the best Bible app. And every day, you go to the Bible app, and you start with Scripture. And then at the end of 2 weeks, I'm going to have you practice more resistance. You're going to take the phone, and you're going to put it away, and you're going to actually do 2 weeks of Bible reading with the good old-fashioned print Bible. And what we're going to be testing is, how do you grow best in the digital age? It's sort of the paper versus the pixels. And you'll have time every day. There's also some instructions, some questions on the back on how to have a quiet time. You can do that as well. But the end of the 4 weeks, after you've done this reading, I'm going to ask you to fill out a little survey form. It'll be a little form, trust me on this, and that'll be how we tabulate how you grow, how you grew spiritually during these 4 weeks. Many of you know I'm trying to wrap up my doctoral thesis, and so that survey is really, really important. That's how I gather the results from this subject. So I'll just say it this way. If you love your pastor, you'll fill out the form because that allows me to hopefully get the results I need to graduate, and it allows us as a church to really grow. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and to lead us in this time. I think they can drown out this rain. They're the only ones that can drown out this rain. And so I want to tell you, all joking aside, I think the most important thing about these next 4 weeks is that you will be filled up spiritually, that your tanks will go from empty to full, and then hopefully along the way they'll go back to empty as you spend yourself in service and love and care for the people around you. If you would just join me by bowing your head and praying with me, please. God, we thank you for the rain. We thank you for the way in which it washes and renews. And God, that's my hope in this series, that you would wash and renew us deep in our souls. Like this rain is coming down, God, I pray that you would fill us up, fill up our tanks to our spiritual capacity. God, may people look at those that are gathered here in this church, in this space, and may they notice that there's just something different about the way they live, that they live in a way that's counter to the world around them. They seem more rested. They seem more alive. God, would you give us just the strength and the endurance over these next few weeks to dig into our relationship with you, Lord. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the encouragement they are to me. God, may we be an encouragement to each other over these next several weeks. We're going to sing to you now. We're going to sing these great songs about how great our Savior Jesus is. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the Sermon Discussion Guide.